God's been faithful for over 60 years to this place because of what He's done, not what we have done. We've desired to live out the purpose and personality of Jesus in our world, and He is continuing to provide opportunities for that to happen. And we are grateful, and we just want to celebrate that this morning. As we begin, I want to take a minute just to give you a second to reflect. Thank God for His faithfulness. Some of you have been here for a long time. You've been through the 60-year journey. Maybe not all 60 years, but many years of the journey. And some of you are new to this journey of faith here at Fellowship Greenville. And we're grateful that you're here. We just want to say thank you to the Father this morning. So we're going to pray as we begin and say thanks to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's You who's working in us. This is what You have done, not what we have done. Our heart's desire is to live out the purpose and personality of Jesus, to be Jesus to others. And it's because You do that in us that we can extend that to others. And we're grateful for that this morning. This morning, God, we just want to say thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. And it's our desire to make much of You all of our days. In Your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. My name is Todd Devaney. I'm the Adult Ministries Directional Pastor here at Southside. It's my at Fellowship Greenville. So here's how this works. Let me just tell you. First service cost me $3. I'm already down one in second service. I'm going to run out of money before third service is over. I'm pretty sure of it. So I got my little stash here. Let me deposit one for second service now. There we go. It's the Rexford Baby Fund. He said missions. I thought it was the Rexford Baby Fund, but we'll see where it ends up going. But anyhow. Today, as we celebrate God's faithfulness to us, we want to continue our desires to impact our city. We want to continue that journey as we continue to be a church in Greenville, South Carolina. Most importantly to us this morning, what I want us to focus on is this. Who we are matters before what we do will make a difference. I want to say that again. Who we are matters first before what we do will make a difference. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about who we are first. And at the end of the message, we'll talk a little bit more about what we can do. But specifically today, we want to look at what the Scriptures teach us about adoption and orphans. Today is Orphan Sunday. You may not know that. So we wanted to take some time to consider the orphans. But before we can consider the orphans in our world, we have to understand ourselves as orphans. You and I are orphans first. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be this morning. And as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 1, I want to introduce you to a couple people I met last week in Mexico. This is Caroline. Caroline is pictured, and she works with another girl. Really, she's a woman. They're mid-20s. I say they're kids now, but I see them as kids now. As I'm getting older, they're getting younger, and they just look like children to me. But these 20-year-olds, this is the beautiful thing. Caroline and Sammy are serving an organization called Back to Back Ministries in Monterrey, Mexico. They're house parents of 8 to 10 boys between the ages of 7 and 11. And I promise if you meet them and see what they're doing to give their lives away, it will blow your mind. My heart has hurt all week remembering them and wrestling with God about what they have been called to. First, they're serving kids who are not parented. They have a mom and these kids may have a mom or a dad, but the mom or dad don't care for them or can't care for them, so they drop them at the orphanage. These two women are raising boys, not because they plan to, but because God clarified in their hearts who is the least of these. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Jesus understood the opportunity to care for the least of these. Caroline and Sammy are understanding what it means to care for the least of these. In In Matthew 25, it's the least of these seems to be the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the needy. Now let's look at what Paul has to say about it. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul actually is the writer in Scripture who says the most about adoption and orphans. So we're going to look at Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. Read with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works in all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, I'm not going to have time to unpack all that Paul tells us in this passage, but I do think there's some language here that helps us understand who we are in Jesus and how that happened. Then upon conclusion of our look at Paul's words, I believe we must consider our response to the truth for our church, neighborhoods, city, and the world we live in. So let's look at the language in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 3. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1 is a declaration of God's authority, that he is the one acting. It's what he is doing, not anyone else. Notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God is the Father of Jesus, and he is the one that is blessing us in Christ. So it's him working and acting and no one else. God is the active agent in the rescue of his people into his family. So if God is acting, and we assume he is working in and around our lives, how is he acting? If God's acting, how is he acting? Verses 3 to 5, let's take a look. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. In verses 3 to 5, it shows us that God's actions towards us includes three things. And this is the crux of what we want to talk about this morning. These three things. Number one, verse 3, God blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You're blessed people. You and I who are in Christ have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You do realize that you are a blessed people. You're blessed. Not because of anything other than God blessed you. But that's not all. Number two, God also chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. Look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. God blessed you and God chose you. God picked you. He went to the orphanage and chose you out of the rest. I know this sometimes is hard for us to rest in, but that's what he did. You were picked from among the rest of the orphans. Since this is true, it has to mean something more. And it does. Not only did God pick you, he said, I want you to have full family status, so I will adopt you. So what we want to do is celebrate our family identity that we now have and not get all wrapped up in how that happened. Hear this. Orphans don't ask, how did it happen? They're just elated that it did. When someone gets adopted into a family, they don't really go through and say, oh, how did this happen? They're just glad to be picked. And you, sometimes we get so caught up in how it happened that we miss the celebration that God did it. And He did it for us because He wanted us to be part of His family. Sometimes we need to stop long enough to recognize we've been chosen, not how, but that we were, and allow that to matter. The third thing, God blessed us, God chose us, and then number three is God adopted us, according to verse 5. Look at verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons. So in love, because He loved us, he predestined for us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. That was His design. That was His plan. A little bit about adoption in Bible times. Paul uses the term adoption as drawn from the legal context of the Roman Empire. In Paul's day, adoption was an important feature of the Roman world, and it carried no stigma. Think about that. There was no stigma to adoption back then. It was just an accepted part of life. It was quite the opposite. It was actually special to have been adopted. It meant that someone important had set His love upon you and adopted you to be His son, His heir. Adoption is simply a legal change of status. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God has bestowed upon you the status of Son of the Most High God. Just let that sink in for a second. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God has bestowed upon you the status of Son of the Most High God. That's our position. That's where we stand. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And this is the really beautiful part of this. This status does not depend on whether you did your devotions, or you read your church's Eat This Book Bible reading program, or how you feel about yourself. It doesn't matter. It is simply not about you. It's about what God has done. It's a legal declaration, a change in status. You went from orphan to son. You went from orphan to daughter. Richard Phillips says it this way: you went from not being a part of the family to now being a part of the family. You went from not sitting at the dinner table eating the meal to now having a regular place at the table. You went from not having a bed or a room to having a bed in a room. So what does it mean that we are adopted? What is included in the word? Well, I just looked it up in the dictionary. I figured that was a good place to start. But adoption is a legal proceeding that creates a parent-child relation between persons not related by blood. The adopted child is entitled to all the privileges belonging to a natural child of the adoptive parents, including the right to inherit. That is what God did for you. Understand that. First, it's what He did for you. We have to understand that. As we talk about adoption, as we think about adoption, don't think about human-to-human adoption. Think about God adopted you to be in the family. He positioned you to be a son and a daughter. Let's look at Galatians 4 on the screen. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Paul identifies adoption as the grand purpose or objective of redemption. That's how huge this idea is. It is the purpose of redemption. He could not have written it any more clearly. God sent His Son to redeem us so that we might be adopted, so that our status would change. Dan Kruger from Together for Adoption says it this way: God the Father sent His eternal and natural Son so that we could become His adopted sons. We're sons and daughters of Father God. And most importantly, we need to see it's undeserved, unmerited, unearned. In other words, we did nothing. God did it. God looked down and chose you. He picked you to be on His team. Remember choosing teams on the playground? When I went to elementary school, we had this thing called three recesses. Nowadays, they have like a half a recess, I think. But when I went to school in elementary school, which wasn't that long ago, really, we used to have Easy Hawkins. I mean, I'm pretty young. But when I went to elementary school, we used to have three recesses. So we'd have 15-minute recess in the morning, a 30-minute in the middle of the day. That was the best one. And then another 15 minutes at the end of the day. It was great. I don't know what's happened to school since then. But when we go out there, every day was different. But the first recess every day was, the purpose was to pick teams and then play ball the rest of the recesses. So we'd pick our teams. And away we went to play the rest of the day. And the next day, we started it all over. Who was going to be captains? Pick your team, and let's get to playing. So that's my experience of playing on the playground and picking teams. But here's the thing. Our choosing of our teams was for the purpose of winning. Like, it mattered who we picked. We didn't pick. We picked the best team we could put together to try to win every single day. And, you know, there's obviously days that didn't work out. But, you know, we tried. But here's the thing about choosing teams. Creator God picked you, and it didn't matter how good a player you were. So in my recess analogy, it didn't matter whether I was a good player or a bad player. God just decided He was going to adopt me. He was just going to pick me to be on His team. I don't know how He did it. I don't even understand all the whys He did it. But I just want to tell you, I want to celebrate that He did it and that He picked me to be on His team. John Piper says it this way: the deepest and strongest foundation of adoption is located not in the act of humans adopting humans, but in God adopting humans. This act is not part of His ordinary providence in the world. It is at the heart of the gospel. The gospel is adoption. One more thought from theologian J.I. Packer in his book, Knowing God. Packer writes it this way: adoption is the highest blessing of the gospel, higher even than the gift of justification, because of the richer relationship with God that it involves. Justification is a forensic idea conceived in terms of law and viewing God as judge. Adoption is a family idea conceived in terms of love and viewing God as Father. In adoption, God takes us into His family and fellowship and establishes us as His children and heirs. Closeness, affection, generosity are at the heart of that relationship. To be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is even greater. God designed family and cares for all of us individually. So we can see that God blessed us, He chose us, and He adopted us. So what does that mean? Real quickly, look at verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11 of chapter 1 says this. If I can find it. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Four things real quickly that are benefits to God's acting, God's blessing, choosing, and adopting us. These are the benefits. Verse 7, redemption and forgiveness. We're redeemed, forgiven people because of what God did. In verse 9, God revealed His will to us, our understanding of God. His purposes are more clear because God picked us. In verse 11, we get an inheritance because we're full heirs. We're in the family. We get all the rights and privileges that Jesus has as His Son. Adoption is part of God's plan. It was God's idea all along. He wanted to make us sons and daughters with all the rights and privileges of being His child. Scotty Smith says it this way: of all the magnificent riches of the gospel, none is more to be treasured and pondered than our adoption in Christ. When the Father lavished His love upon us and made us His children, we weren't just street wandering orphans looking for a good meal and a warm bed. We were self-absorbed slaves to sin and death. Indeed, we weren't in the orphanage of loneliness. We were in the morgue of hopelessness. Adoption, therefore, is the quintessential freedom, the inheritance for which we long and for which we've been redeemed. Scripture leaves no doubt. Before the dawning of human history, before the earth was created, before the universe came into existence by the spoken word of God, God chose us for adoption. He chose us to be His sons through Jesus Christ. Adoption existed in the mind of God in eternity before it ever occurred to man to adopt. God vertically adopted us. God chose us to be part of the family. His pursuit of us, first and foremost, is what we have to get our heads around. Vertical adoption precedes all of human history. Adoption existed vertically before it ever existed horizontally. In other words, God pursued us because of His pursuit of us. It compels me to act. But I don't act. I won't act out of my own hearts and wants and desires. I won't act well. But because of whose family I've been placed in, because God adopted me into His family, because of my status with Him, I will be compelled to move out into action towards others. Man did not invent adoption. God did. The way we think about adoption horizontally should be shaped by Scripture's teaching on vertical adoption. How we think about bringing orphans into our families should be influenced and determined by how we understand what God has done vertically in adoption. Our involvement with orphan children should be informed by what God has done to bring us into His house, to His family. Now, in just a minute, we're going to watch a video. And what I want us to begin to understand is the framework of Ephesians chapter 1 is what God did to put us in the family. That's the first thing we have to understand. But as that happens, it does something to us when we understand who we are in Christ. That I'm a part of God's family. That I sit at the table. That I have an inheritance. We have to do something with that. It moves us to act. And after we watch this video, we're going to talk about ways and opportunities that we can get involved in caring for the least of these.
Us to love the orphan like He first loved us. God's deep love for each of us is why we love the orphan. Not all children have the love of a family, but you can be loved to a child. Through foster care, or adoption, or supporting orphans around the world.
Because He first loved us.
kids beautifully articulated, they're loved. You and I are loved. You and I are blessed, chosen, adopted people. And we have to do something with that. We can't just rest and sit in that. I want to share some statistics with you from Together for Adoption. It's an organization that cares for adopting kids and orphans. But you can see on the screen the breakdown of the orphaned and vulnerable children in parts of the world. There are 163 million orphaned and vulnerable children in our world. Hear that, 163 million. If all of these children were moved to the country of Mexico, Mexico's population would more than double, growing from 108,700,000 people to 251,700,000. There are as many orphaned and vulnerable children living in Ethiopia as there are people in greater New York City. That's our world. You can see the numbers. They're staggering. This has to matter to us as adopted children of God. What about the United States? This is the world. Let's just look at the United States for a second. More than 800,000 children pass through our country's foster care system each year. There's over 500,000 children in our foster care system right now. 129,000 of those children are waiting to be adopted right now. That's the number of people that live in the capital of South Carolina. Just hear that. Columbia, South Carolina. That's the number of available kids to be adopted. Approximately 25,000 children age out of the foster care system each year. I believe the age is 18. Many with no support system and little to no life skills. There's currently over 5,400 children in South Carolina's foster care system, and over 1,500 of them are waiting to be adopted. So far this year, only a couple hundred of them have been permanently placed in homes. More than one-third of Americans have seriously considered adopting, but no more than 2% have actually adopted. Only 4% of families with children, which is 1.7 million households, contain adopted children. With this many orphans in the United States and in the world, the church has a monumental task before her. If she is to practice true religion, as James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Here's the hard part about this. We don't even get an option in this. Like, it's not even, we can't even look at it and say, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. No, to practice pure and undefiled religion before God, it is to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions. So because we're blessed, because we're chosen, because we're adopted into the family, there's responsibility that goes along with that. Adoption has endless faces to it. I can't address them all today, but as God's fully adopted, fully blessed, fully chosen people that have an amazing inheritance. You do remember, we get an inheritance yet to be received. We must consider our response or action to the good news of our vertical adoption. Our vertical adoption and the blessings of it compel us to live out our values, like loving others or magnifying grace. That's what we long for you as people that attend our church. We want you to magnify grace. We want you to love others well. You will do that because of your adoption in Christ. Your identity changed. Your family status changed. And because it did, it's going to affect how you live. The church has her work cut out for her. So what do we do? Maybe I should ask, do you even know what opportunities are already available here at Fellowship Greenville? I'm going to put a list on the screen. I just want to highlight a couple of these. These are opportunities. These are ways to get involved. These things are already going on here at our church. You may or may not know about them, so we're going to take a minute, and I'm going to go through a couple of them. Hope for Children. If you have a yellow, an I'm adopted shirt, stand up. Come on, don't be shy. You're adopted. You're in the family. There you go. They're adopted, and you're adopted. But they're promoting a ministry called Hope for Children. Hope for Children is a ministry here at Fellowship Greenville that wants to come alongside families who have interest in orphans and adoption. It's not just a program plan that if you go talk to them and you inquire about them that it's going to mean automatically certain things. They just want you to consider caring for the least of these. And they've just decided they want to help the people of our church grow in that area. And so we started this ministry. And they've been able to come alongside several families and help them understand adoption, help them go through the process of adoption. But they've also been able to help families who just want to do a better job of caring for others. See, part of our adoption and the caring for orphans and widows and the least of these is the reality that what it is it's a reflection of how well we love others. That's the opportunity. Miracle Hill Ministries, Reed preached a couple weeks ago and shared with you a little bit more about Miracle Hill, but they have a tremendous foster care adoption program. Back-to-Back Ministries is a ministry that we're beginning to partner with in outreach that has an incredible orphan ministry in Mexico. And then Vonzoa Christian School. You've heard a lot about Vonzoa over the years, our partnership in Liberia. One of the things that's happened in our Liberian partnership is we were able to it's in my dollar bill here, so it's work. Just so you know, I don't want to cheat the system. But one of the things that happened in our partnership with Vonzoa Christian School, Fellowship Greenville was able to connect Vonzoa Christian School and Vision Trust so that Vision Trust could get involved and help that school be successful. But one of the ways that it's going to be successful is through child sponsorship. They're orphans. They're the least of these. It's a simple way for you to consider helping and serving the least of these. We have a single moms fellowship here at Fellowship Greenville of single moms who need care, who need support, who need encouragement, who need love. Some of you are community group leaders, and your community groups have been sent information about the possibilities of ways you can love, encourage, and care for them. Not just loving and caring for the single moms, but they're single moms. They have kids that need love and care. And they may or may not have enough help and support for that. You might consider mentoring, getting involved in that way. So there's all kinds of ways that you and I can get involved. This is just the beginning. If you want more information about any of these, contact Jana Johnson in the church office, and she'll be glad to put you in touch with who you need to or send you directly the information that might help you get plugged into this or one of these opportunities. As we close, I want to share a personal example of how this is working out in my family's life. A little over a year ago, I met a family in my neighborhood with a then 2-year-old little girl. Little did I know that my family would have the pleasure of investing in her due to her mom's illness and her dad's need to provide for the family. We are becoming their family because they don't have family close by. But specifically, we are getting to model what family is to her mostly, but also to her parents. We eat together. We celebrate good things together, and we struggle through difficult things together at times. This past week, we celebrated the little girl's birthday and my wife Tina's birthday together. That's what families do. Another example of her being a part of our family, sometimes she stays with us, and the room she sleeps in, she now calls her room and her bed because she feels part of the family. Another example is when I leave the house, I typically kiss Tina and the girls. If they're around, kiss them before I leave, and she now wants a kiss too, because she feels part of the family. She is beginning to experience family. What God has taught me is that He wants this little one, what God has taught me is that he wants this little one to also call him daddy. And he just might want me to be part of the process. Mostly he wants to use my wife Tina and my kids, it seems. And I get to watch and learn about the fatherhood of God in the process. This little girl is not mine biologically, but she is one of the children God might want to adopt into his family. And I do believe he's asking me and my family, how far will you go to invest into her? And I can tell you, as I learn about my adoption into God's family, I am more and more convinced that I have a responsibility to move into action. That doesn't look the same for everyone. God has made a way for us to call him Father, to be our daddy. He longs for us to be his family. And it's through his plan called adoption. My hope this morning is that we understand more of God's pursuit of us through our vertical adoption, our adoption in Christ, then we will naturally extend out to others in horizontal adoption. I can't tell you what to do, nor do I want to. I'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit. It's about what God has done. It's about what God has to say to you. We want all of our actions to grow out of our understanding of God and what he longs for us. God blessed you, God chose you, and God adopted you into his family. Who might he be inviting you to pursue in similar ways? Let's pray. God, you brought us into your family. You went to the orphanage of mankind and said, I want you to be in the family. Come sit at the table. That's what you said to us. And I believe that you want us to do something tangible as an extension of what you did for us. And I don't know what that means for anybody else in this room. But I do know that it's in your heart to care for the orphans and the widows and the least of these. So would you enlarge our heart? Would you open our hearts to be open to what it is that you might be inviting us into? And would you be the reason that we celebrate all things all the time? In your name we pray.